Hello, my name is Josh.
I'm Jamie.
I want to recount your strategies, because you're talking about movies, comics, and everything in between. Today, we're going to talk about everything from Amazon doing a live-action Spider-Man Noir series to our spoiler thoughts on the newest episode of HBO's The Last of Us and much more.
Also, feel free to follow us on all our social media platforms. We're on Twitter at ConvoWithTwoGeeks. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at ConversationWithTwoGeeks. If you want to send us an email about anything from this episode or one of our previous episodes, we're at ConversationWithTwoGeeks@gmail.com.
You can also find back out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or a podcast to listen to. How are you today, Jamie?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good for the most part. Just chilling and stuff. That being said, it was a bit of an issue trying to find a first topic though, but hey, we were able to find one, and my God, between this and our next topic, there is a certain supremacy going on between two producers, and the Lord and Miller supremacy rages on.
Yeah.
All right. And that leads us to our first topic for the day, which, in an exclusive for Variety, and by the way, this literally just dropped within the past, I would say, few hours at the time of recording this. So this is very fresh. A Spider-Man Noir live action series is in the works at Amazon with the Lost City screenwriter Oren Yuzel serving as writer and executive producer on Spider-Man Noir show alongside Phil Lord and Chris Miller, who will be developing the show along with Yuzel. According to the exclusive, the entire series will follow an older grizzled superhero in 1930s New York City. However, the show will be set in its own universe, and the main character will not be Peter Parker. This is the second known project based on Sony control Marvel characters at Amazon Prime Video and MGM Plus, with Amazon moving forward on the series Silk Spire Society from showrunner Angela Kang, with several other shows in the works. It is unknown at this time which other Marvel characters will feature in the other Amazon shows, though certainly currently controlled over 900 such characters associated with the Spider-Man franchise. Again, the freaking Lord and Miller supremacy rages on. And by the way, I think this is going to be a big year between the next topic, Cocaine Bear, which they did produce, by the way, and also Spider-Verse. Like it's Lord and Miller all day long. And honestly, I'm down for whatever that those two. I was going to say idiots, but like they're not idiots; they're brilliant.
Yeah.
Whatever they bring us and stuff. What do you think?
I mean, it sounds interesting. It'll be good. Lord and Miller definitely know how to do Spider-Man movies with Into the Spider-Verse, so it'll probably be good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting.
Definitely. And also, and I just had this thought, but can Sony just give them like whatever Avi Arad doing with like Venom and all that stuff. Can we just give it to them?
Yeah.
And just do the whole James Gunn thing. But like, I imagine also like, look, we just got to give Avi something. Give him anything. Yeah. Give him anything. But either way, I'm down. And also like, there's this series of Marvel Noir books I remember reading back in the day that I'm like really curious if they're going to take any inspiration about. But it does seem like they're pretty much doing their own thing, which is interesting because like, the lead in those books are like Peter Parker and stuff, but like apparently there's, according to report, this is the main character is not going to be Peter Parker.
That'll be interesting.
But either way, I'm excited for this. And speaking of Lord Miller, we got an official Red Band trailer for Strays. Synopsis reads, when Reggie, voiced by Will Ferrell, a naive, relentless, optimistic border terrier, is abandoned on the mean city streets by his lowlife owner, Doug, played by Will Forte, Reggie is certain that his beloved owner will never leave him on purpose. But once Reggie falls in with a fast-talking, foul-mouthed Boston Terrier named Bug, voiced by Oscar winner Jamie Foxx, a stray who loves his freedom and believes that owners are for sickness, Reggie finally realizes that he was in a toxic relationship and begins to see Doug for the heartless sleazeball that he is. Determined to seek revenge, Reggie, Bug, and Bug's pals, Maggie, voiced by Elsa Fisher, a smart Australian shepherd who is sidelined by her owner's new puppy, and Hunter, voiced by Randall Park, an anxious Great Dane who's stressed out by his work as an emotional support animal, together hatch a plan and embark on an epic adventure to help Reggie find his way home and make Doug pay. By biting off the appendage he loves the most. Hint, it's not his foot. Directed by Josh Greenbaum and written by American Vandal co-creator Dan Peralta and produced by Phil Lord and Chris Miller. In addition to Farrell, Forte, Fox, Fisher, and Park, the film stars Josh Gad, Harvey Gonell, Rob Riggle, Brett Gelman, and Jamie Dimitrio, and Sofia Vergara. The film is set for release on June 9th, 2023. It's interesting that like it's the midway point of the trailer where it's like, oh, he's gonna try to go back to him, and then like he just realized, no, I'm gonna bite him.
Yeah, I know.
I'm kind of like, wait, did I hear that correctly?
Yeah, so I believe it's created by the people who did Ted, right? Like the Ted movies.
I
Thought I saw something in the trailer about that.
I imagine it's probably produced by them, but like it's mainly like there's a show called American Vandal that like went that the Ringwriter is doing it from, and also Bar. Did you ever watch Bar and Mar go to like Del Var or something like that?
No,
Okay,
no.
those director did that, but yeah, no. Again, Lord and Miller.
Yeah.
Like even if you're not fully 100% on the concept, you know that it's probably going to be something very unique in the end.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's definitely not my cup of tea. I probably won't see it. I just that kind of humor is not really my thing. But I'm sure it's gonna be funny. So I'm sure people who like it will have a lot of fun with it. So
Also, I won't lie, I was surprised to see Will Forte in this.
yeah, no, that's I know, me too. For
And
sure.
just playing like a heartless jerk. Oh, that's just funny. And also this cast honestly just sounds very interesting.
No, yeah, for sure. It does.
Anyway, moving on to our next topic. An exclusive from Deadline reports that following the successful relaunch of Scream, Sony Pictures is looking to blow new life into its own slasher franchise with Thor: Love and Thunder co-writer and Sweet Slash Pictures creator Jennifer Caitlin Robinson being tapped to direct a sequel to 1996's I Know What You Did Last Summer, which stars Jennifer Love Hewitt and Freddie Prinze Jr. in talks to reprise their roles, with the project currently in early development with Liam McKendrick being on board to write the script. While plot details for the new installment are currently unknown for those that don't remember or aren't familiar with the original, based on the novel by Lewis Duncan and written by a post-Scream Kevin Williamson and released in 1986, I Know What You Did Last Summer follows four young friends bound by a tragic accident who are reunited when they find themselves being stalked by a hook-wielding maniac in their small seaside town. A commercial success leading into a sequel in 1988, the film essentially launched the careers of Hewitt, Prince, Sarah Michelle Gellar, and Ryan Phillippe. The exclusive reports that while McKendrick is penning the script, the idea for the new film came from both Robinson and McKendrick, who blew away studio executives when they pitched the ideas for a sequel last fall, especially given the recent success of the Scream franchise, with that film recently relaunched with original cast members returning and the idea of bringing back original cast members to draw in old school fans while also adding fresh faces to relaunch the series was too good for the studio to pass up. Additionally, the success of Robinson's own Netflix film Do Revenge, which was lauded for its throwback to late 90s picks like Cruel Intentions, was something executives knew Robinson could tap into while developing the new story. Once the idea was pitched by Robinson and McKendrick, the next step was getting Hewitt and Prince back on board, which the two were game for after hearing the pitch. So, did you ever see this movie back in the
No,
day?
I did not.
Okay.
But what's funny about this is I think I just saw an interview with Freddie Prinze Jr. not too long ago, like maybe a week or so ago. I don't know how current the actual interview was, but it's the first time I saw the interview where he was talking about his experience on the original set for that, for the movie. So it's kind of interesting timing.
Very, very interesting timing. And I will say I've really only seen bits and pieces of this movie. I kind of know it may I know it a little bit more because it was a parody and scary movie. And also there's that Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello song of the same name.
Oh, nah, 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 oh, yeah. I know what you did last summer. Just lie to me, there's no water. I know what you did last summer. Tell me where you've been.
So there's that. I know it's not relating to it, but it literally just,
No, I get that.
yeah, no. But either way, and I've heard good things about Due Revenge. I missed out on that last year, but I need to watch it. But either way, this sounds interesting, and I'm very curious to see what they plan on doing with it and stuff. And yeah, I'm
Me
in.
too. Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yeah. Anyways, moving on to our next topic, exclusive variety, Game of Thrones actress Lena Headey, Greenwich actor actress Yara Shaheri, Dora, I mean Isabel Merced, to call, whom all the boys I love star Lana Condor, A Quiet Place star Millicent Simmons, and Idris Abtow are set to lead a new buzzy action thriller titled Ballerina Overdrive, not to be confused with the John Wick spinoff Ballerina, which is set to be produced by David Leitch, responsible for co-directing the first John Wick, as well as directing Deadpool 2 and Bullet Train, respectively, and directed by The Witcher Blood Origin director Vicky Jusen, based on a script by Kate Lund, which follows a group, a true trip, trip? Trip of ballerinas who find themselves fighting for survival as they attempt to escape from a remote inn after the bus breaks down on the way to a dance competition. Filming for the movie is set to commence in Serbia later this year with stunt designers Heidi and Renee Moneymaker, whose credits include Captain America: Civil War. Heidi, by the way, is ScarJo's stunt double for Black Widow.
Oh, nice. Oh, yeah. I recognize the name now. Yeah.
Guardians Volume 3 and Project Artemis, among others, tasked to create the film's dance-based action choreography. Additionally, the film is European film market, where producers, buyers, and sales agents, distributors, financiers come together to network, exchange, and perform and do business. So, I'm not gonna lie, this cast actually sounds really cool.
Yeah, sounds interesting. Sounds like it'll be interesting.
Yeah,
But
and
yeah,
also.
I don't have that many thoughts on it, but it sounds cool.
Yeah, and also like getting the money makers
Yeah.
to do the
No,
action.
the stunt stuff, they're really good. So it'll be good.
Yeah, and also it's being produced by literally A7 North, aka the guy who literally kind of brought us Deadpool. Well, not okay. I actually no, scratch that. Not the guy who brought us Deadpool, but basically the guy who brought us Deadpool 2, Bullet Train, and who helped bring John Wick to the screen. So I'm in for this one. This one actually sounds like a lot of fun. Yeah. But yeah, anyway, moving on to our second to last topic. And this one, I'll just be honest, I think this is dumb.
It's so dumb. Oh,
it's so dumb. It's brilliant. No!
It's just dumb.
I think this is just very, very stupid. And just, I'll get into it later. Anyways, via Variety, AMC Theaters, the company's largest exhibition chain, is rolling out Sightline, a ticket pricing initiative based on seat location within the auditorium. Some of the music concerts, sporting events, or even Broadway, moviegoers will have the option to pay more or less for admission, depending on where they choose to sit in the venue. In effect, front row seats will now be available at a lower price, while seats in the middle will be available at a higher price. With there being a difference, with there being three different seating price options, standard start sightline, which where seats that are most common in auditoriums and are available for the traditional cost of a ticket, value sightline, where theaters in the front row of the auditorium, as well as select ADA seats in each auditorium, are available at a lower price than standard sightline seats and are only available to AMC Stubs members, including the free tier membership. And initial preferred sightline, which are seats in the middle of the auditorium and are priced at a premium to sightline to standard sightline seats. The initiative kicked off Friday at select AMC locations in New York, Chicago, and Kansas City, and will be expanded to all domestic AMC locations by the end of the year. In a statement, Executive VP and CMO at AMC Theaters, Elliot Hemlisch, said Sightline at AMC more closely aligns AMC seat pricing approach to that of many other entertainment venues, offers experience-based pricing, and another way moviegoers to find value at the movies. While every seat at AMC delivers an amazing moviegoing experience, we know that there are some moviegoers who prefer their specific seats and others who prioritize value moviegoing. Sightline at AMC accommodates both sentiments to help ensure that our guests have more control over their experience, that every trip to AMC is a good one. To quote Benoit Blanc from Glass Onion, this is dumb. It's just dumb.
No, it's just dumb.
It's very dumb. I'm honestly surprised that it's taken this long for a movie theater to try to do this, to be honest. It's stupid. I'm just glad that I don't have an AMC around me and I'm gonna be going to Regal. But yeah, it's stupid, to be honest with you. It's ridiculous. And like, movie prices are already so expensive, you're really going to just add more to the price to get a better seat, and then you're gonna like penalize people who are wanting to go to the movies but maybe and want those seats but maybe can't put up that kind of price. Like, it's just stupid. It's just stupid.
Yeah, and like, look, I'm an AMC stub member, but like, what the hell?
It's ridiculous, to be honest with you. Honestly, if you can, I don't know how it's gonna affect like the subscription services that companies have or whatnot, but I don't know. Like, it's just ridiculous and it's very stupid. And it's, I don't know. We'll see how it implements. I think it's very, very dumb, but.
Yeah, and I just wonder if they're gonna walk this back or not, because like everyone hates this. Even Elijah Wood and Seth Green called this out.
It's just overall very stupid.
Indeed, indeed. I'm just like, again, to quote Benoit Blanc, it's just dumb.
Yeah, it's very dumb.
All right,
Very.
moving on to our last topic, and this is some rumor mill stuff, so definitely take this with a grain of salt. Exclusive from the Cosby Circus, we have some news on which character, which role slash character, actress Saoirse Ronan will be playing, in which Saoirse Ronan will be playing the character of Violet Taylor. In the comics, the character was created by Stan Lee and John Romita Jr., in which she was a major recurring character in the original Captain America series as Sam Wilson's girlfriend that worked at the Daily Bugle. In addition, we also got news that Sebastian Stan's Bucky is currently expected to appear, albeit very briefly, in New World Order. Originally, he was only set to have one or two scenes, but there was a rewrite submitted around the end of the year, which either increased or decreased Bucky's participation. And the main reason why that was the case, because Bucky is going to be in Thunderbolts.
That makes sense. So this is Sam. I mean, I guess it makes sense. I guess Sam is gonna probably try to find his own Bucky in a sense. I know, like, I would like to see more of the Sam and Bucky dynamic because I think they're very fun together. But it would kind of make sense to have him find his own partner in crime, maybe. So I don't know. We'll see what ends up happening. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, especially with this set to be kind of a bit more of a globetrotting, a somewhat globetrotting adventure, but also like they did kind of mention like the character can kind of keep Sam grounded, especially as now Captain America and stuff, and like
Yeah.
he's dealing with a lot more stuff than usual.
Right. Makes sense.
So yeah. Anyway, moving on to our recommendations for the week. You ready to talk about The Last of Us? All right. Major spoiler warnings afloat. Major spoiler warnings afloat. Major spoiler warnings are afloat. Okay. All right. So episode four of HBO's The Last of Us. Overall, thought it was a really good episode. Like, I like the chemistry between Joel and Ellie now that we kind of see that kind of forming a bit more. Just all that, especially with like the joke book and
Right out of the game too is perfect.
nice. Also them like just agreeing over Chef Boyardee, which I just
I don't
that.
know how her stomach didn't like that so bad. It makes it, but it is what it is. I think he said it was like 20 years old or something. So.
No, it's just Chef Boyardee, just that's just perfect. I fucking love that. And then just that, and then just also like the whole scene where like she shoots someone to save Joel, and also like so I'm aware of a certain backstory thing that involves Storm Reid. You think we're gonna get that in the next episode or the episode after? Because that has to be coming soon.
Probably very soon. They might be waiting for a little bit later, but they're definitely it's definitely gonna happen this season, for sure. They have to. Like, and it's gonna be very sad. So,
I've heard how sad it gets and stuff, and
yeah.
I'm not ready for it emotionally.
I think it's gonna be very similar to the
Feeling Frank.
But yeah, I just have this feeling. So I don't know for sure, but I would be like, if that's anything to go by, they'd know how to do like the emotional punches and relationships and stuff. So yeah.
Trauma, more trauma. Also, I love Melanie Lewinsky as Kathleen, which side note, and this is more of a side note on my end, but I really need to fucking watch Yellow Jackets.
Yeah, she was terrifying. She was very good though.
Yeah. Also, and I hate that I have to fucking say this, but whoever is bullying her online, fuck off. Just.
If you guys think, I don't even know. I can't even say anything because like this is, we can't even be starting this yet. Like we can't,
Yeah, no,
guys. It's just gonna get worse from now, and just you guys just need to chill and not go on the actors' social media pages. So.
yeah, no, like apparently like someone was like bullying them over like a photo shoot they did and like saying
Oh
like
yeah, that too. Yeah.
yeah, which I just I'm sorry, but it just we stand Melanie Lewinsky in this house. Like I'll be fully honest, like the first thing I was really introduced to her is 2 and a Half Men, and honestly she was the best part of that show. But like I've also seen other things with her and stuff. Stan's Yellow Jackets, I need to watch that show, I know. But like it's just we stand her in this house, so
No, yeah, she is very good.
yes.
The antagonists of these show the shows are gonna be no joke, guys. So you just we're just gonna have to chill. And it's a zombie apocalypse, like post-apocalyptic show, so we're just gonna have to chill and enjoy the story. And yeah, she was very, very, very good, and she's very scary, so and intimidating. So
And also, one of the things I kind of liked, when they're kind of like passing through the road and stuff, we see like the theater marquee and stuff. The last two movies were Matchstick Men and Underworld,
That's funny. That's
which.
cool.
Like, if I had to go out, Underworld would not be a bad option.
Yeah, true.
But yeah. And Matchstick Men, for those who haven't seen it, is a very underrated release. I think it's Ridley Scott movie that also has Nicolas Cage.
Oh, cool. Very
So
cool.
yeah. I honestly haven't seen it. I think I've only seen maybe a scene or two from it. But like I've heard good things. But yeah, no, but yeah. And also, yeah, and that leads us into actually the cliffhanger. I'm excited about the cliffhanger. I don't know who those two characters are mainly.
I think those are the two kids that she was looking for in the episode. I forgot the name of it. Was it Sam and Henry?
Sam and Henry.
Yeah, I don't know for sure, but I'm like 90% sure that's them. So.
I know. And it's definitely, I'm definitely curious. And I don't think they were kids. I think they were like a father son.
That's possible. I know very, I do know some stuff from this, but them I really don't know. So, I don't really know for sure.
That being said, I could see that storyline informing Joel's like fatherly side, like especially the like now him opening up and stuff. I can definitely see that informing Joel's fatherly side and just him as a dad and reawakening that part, that protective side of him and stuff. So, but yeah, no, just which just oh God. Yeah, no, all in all, just another great and intense episode of The Last of Us. Can't wait for next week's episode, which we actually get at the time of this recording tomorrow as opposed to Sunday because of the Super Bowl. So, yes.
Yeah, we get it Friday because it's Super Bowl. So remember that, guys. So yeah, we get a little bit early this week. I don't know if we're getting it, if we're gonna start getting it on Fridays. I'm assuming it's just gonna be this week just because of the Super Bowl.
It's probably just because of this week and just Super Bowl,
Yeah,
because
makes sense.
Super Bowl Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, I don't even want to think about that because I'm gonna have to work and it's gonna suck. But
My
yeah.
condolences, my condolences. I'll be honest, like as soon as the 49ers lost, I wasn't really
It's all good.
I just wasn't into it.
It's
But that's
just Well, that's another discussion for
but yeah,
you.
that's all I'm gonna say about Super
Because
Bowl.
I could talk about football a lot, and so we're not gonna do that.
Yeah, no. Anyways, so I actually have a recommendation. So this morning, actually, at the time of recording this, I watched DC's Harley Quinn, a barely problematic Valentine's Day special. And overall, I thought it was great, heartwarming, and fucking hilarious. I love the exploration of Harley's perfectionism and how that tends to spiral out of control.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Bane and Clayface, I thought, got some nice stories as well. And just the voice cameos were hilarious heck and stuff. And just overall, this was so much fun from beginning to end. Definitely recommend checking this out. And yeah.
Cool. Sounds
yeah.
fun.
Yeah. You have any recommendations before we close out?
No, not really. I am good.
Okay, cool beans. And yeah, let's close this puppy out.
Sounds good. So thank you guys for tuning in today. If you like to follow us, we're on social media platforms. We're on Twitter at Convo with Two Geeks. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at Conversation with Two Geeks. If you want to send us an email with anything from this episode or one of our previous episodes, we're at conversationwithtwogeeks@gmail.com. And also, a little tease, we are working on a TikTok account.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as that is up and running, we'll be pumping that out in the little end credits. So give us a follow on there as well.
Definitely. And yeah. All right. Take care, everyone. See you next week.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.